let's begin to look at how theologically sound these statements are we are making. If you believe that the mind has to change before a person change, you are saying a person can change without being born again. I hear the mmms coming out. Finally, we get on solid theological ground. If we say that we have to be born again before we can change, then born again has nothing to do with the mind. Now, there are mental processes involved, but it's not the mind that makes us born again. It is the spirit giving. The I am came first. A new creation come. Then our thinking processes change. So we realize that something from within must change first. Now, there are scriptures where Jesus says, out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thoughts and all those things. So the heart must be changed before the thoughts can change. So something deep within us needs a touch, a change, before all the thoughts begin to change. But yet, how many Christians are still living their lives and wanting to go to the next level of a spiritual high, the next level of spiritual progress by getting some mental philosophy principle? If only I get this principle, if only I catch this area, if only I understand this, I will change. How many Christians are still taking that path? If the foundation is wrong, everything else will be unsound. The foundation of the precept of trying to change a person by changing them mentally is unsound. Now, I would admit that indeed, if a person's thinking change, they will change. But it could be just an observation of a symptom of something else, not the cause. Because there's something else causing the mind and the thoughts to change, which is not observable. This morning when you got up, the sun rose in the east. You saw it rising from the east. You felt the rays shining upon you, rising from the east. But and you said, you know, the sun is moving. No, the sun is not moving. The earth is moving. So the cause of the sun rising in the east is not the sun moving, it's the earth. The observation, the symptom of the earth rotating around the sun with us on the earth, the symptom is that the sun seems to move. So I would admit that when a person's mind and thinking change, it does affect their entire life. However, getting people's thinking to change is not by just getting their thinking to change. Something else needs to affect them. In the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke 24, despite having spent nearly 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, despite having all the best teaching they could have ever had for the 3 years of their life, the disciples, the apostles, in fact, still did not fully understand what Jesus was trying to say. They still have no understanding. They still just cannot. There was a mental block that was impossible to bypass. And so, in the book of Luke chapter 24, when Jesus came to his disciples, in verse 30 and 31, this is after his resurrection. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, and he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, that their eyes were open. And they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. So something needed to open, then they could understand the Lord. But as you read on, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter same chapter, verse 44 and 45, when he appeared with the apostles, that was the two disciples on Emmaus, he says, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you all, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So, something must be imparted, changed, opened on the inside. Something that is a part of our inner being must be touched deep within our heart of hearts. Then the understanding starts working in the right direction. That is why I am, therefore I think. And the I am must be changed to a spiritual I am. We are changed from inside. Then our understanding starts changing. Now that is a wonderful scripture in Luke 24. How nice if that happened to every one of us. Then every Sunday, we don't need any preacher. Every one of us will sit around and say, "Hey, what's your understanding? Your understanding? Your understanding? Let's put those scriptures together." It will be fun. If we open our understanding to suddenly understand all the scriptures. And for lack of a better words, I describe it this way. Impartation comes before mental transformation. Impartation. Something is given, touched, or established inside. And then the mental transformation comes. And then the life does change. And that's a role, which is the deep role, the impartation side. Now let's have one more scripture. Ephesians chapter 1. And these are Christians who are part of a church. In fact, one of the most successful church that Paul planted in Ephesus. They were already born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Paul prays this prayer for them in Ephesians chapter 1. And that seals our theological understanding that impartation comes before understanding. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is praying for the Ephesian Christians and he says in verse 16 onwards, that he does not cease to give thanks for them, making mention of you in my prayers, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now notice the chronological order. Number one, he prays for them. Secondly, he prays that God would give them something. God will impart something upon them. They already have the Holy Spirit, but he was praying for them to receive another different measure, or another fresh measure, or an increased measure of the Holy Spirit, which he qualifies to be the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then step three, the eyes of the understanding become enlightened. Can you see the process? The enlightening of the understanding comes after the impartation, not before. Because all the things of God come by revelation. And by revelation, the word has been misused by false prophets and extreme pseudo-spiritual people. And we say, "I have a revelation," you know. We always think, oh, you know, some weird stuff. By revelation, we mean things that are in line with the word. Basically, we all recognize we can't understand the Bible until God reveals the Bible to us. And then we can't understand some of the spiritual things he's trying to speak to us unless God reveals it to us. Now, understanding comes after, A-F-T, A-F-T-E-R, after impartation. And impartation is a continuous process that we will continually have throughout all our lives until we meet Jesus face to face. Here, the Ephesian Christians were already born again, baptized in the Spirit, and he's still praying for them. We continue to receive more and more of the measures of God. And we receive the person of God into our heart, but we continue to increase day by day, receiving more things from him. And it is his impartation that gives us understanding. So the next time you're struggling to move on the next level of your spiritual life, struggling to understand some things of God, it is not so much trying to understand as it is receiving from him a measure of his Spirit. And then the receiving process, subjectively, is not so much like something coming externally upon you. It is more something internally rising from you that you yield to. That you yield to. Especially if it's an inner thoughts that God progress in our life. Having established those foundation, we realize that God can speak to every one of us. Now remember this. The supernatural is not necessarily always spectacular. We always equate supernatural with spectacular. But the supernatural can be things that very, very normal looking. And we don't realize some of the best things are happening. The supernatural can be spectacular. Now, when someone is born again, I believe one of the greatest miracles that take place on this earth is the born again experience. Jesus says the Spirit come as he wills and no one knows how, except you see the side effect. Right? I believe the born again experience is greater than any healing. Anything else that can happen in any life. But was it spectacular? In some lives, it's greatly emotional. In some of our lives, it's very quiet. But it's definitely supernatural. For no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And it could be such a simple process. I'm sure some of you have led someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, where you sat with them and you say, pray this after me, you know, and say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, you know, and those things happen. Did you hear angels singing? Thunders rolling, lightning flashing, the earth quaking, the wind rushing, typhoon blowing. No, it may, but it may not happen. But you know that it's the most supernatural thing has taken place. So supernatural things can be very quiet. Now, the voice of God speaking to our lives can be quiet, but yet powerful. And it could be so quiet that, you know, only you hear it within you. No one else heard it. But yet it's supernatural. And all of us need to hear God. And the key why we are doing this series is the key to hearing God lies on discerning the thoughts that flow from our life. That's the first basic training that we have. Thank God for visions and dreams which he can give to each one of us. Thank God for supernatural voice. Thank God that he can send an angel and appear in front of you and says, I am Gabriel. Go and wash a toilet. Right. And, right. Whatever. No. Right. So, whatever. So, he could. But, it could come in the most, and all those, thank God for all the supernatural thing. But, there are things that are not so spectacular. But yet they are highly important in hearing God. Our thought life. Besides all those scripture, I better give one more scripture to sort of solidify the fact in your mind through scriptures that the Holy Spirit does speak through our thoughts. In the book of John, chapter looking